Been a little while, actually, since we caught up with Commissioner of Natural Resources, Dave Murphy. Matter of fact, the last time I think Dave was on with me was right before the pandemic hit in March of 2020. So we're really pleased to welcome him back in person to let you know what's going on in your Department of Natural Resources. Great to see you, Dave.
Well, Joe, thanks for having me back. A lot's happened since we last talked.
Sure has, both good and bad.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But it's great to see you. It's great to
be
back. Great to be back in person for all kinds of activities happening in the city this time of year. We've already had, Cleaner Greener, Memorial Day, the Arts Fest, all kinds of stuff, and now we're right on the cusp of Flag Day.
Right, we've had a great spring full of events, and Flag Day is the unofficial start of summer in Quincy
every year,
and in my personal opinion, the best day of the year every year in Quincy. And it's great to have all of the festivities around Flag Day back. During the pandemic, we had to make some adjustments.
Yep.
We had the car parade, and we had the fireworks out at the bay, and we really had to adjust to the world we lived in at the time. But to get back to the tradition, that's what Flag Day really is about, is tradition. To get back to the tradition of having the typical parade with all the bands, floats, color guards, and especially the youth groups, having the award winners be special folks tied back to the Coal Club with Marilyn Nestor.
Yeah.
And then to have the fireworks back at Pageant Field, really, that's what Flag Day, the tradition in Quincy, is truly about. It's great.
Yeah, I know we talked a little bit about this before we went on this morning, that fireworks experience up at Pageant Field is so intimate, unlike any other fireworks display that people have been to, really. You are right in it, pretty much.
I agree. The way the hill sets up, they shoot from down at the creek, so as the fireworks go up, you're almost looking eye level or slightly eye level, unlike any other place that you can see the fireworks. It's a really great slice of Americana. You have the giant American flag in the foreground with the fireworks in the background. You can't beat it.
Absolutely. And I'm told that the howitzers are back this year.
The howitzers are back. Barry Welch is very excited about that. We're lucky. There are so many partners that we have that contribute to make this a successful event. And the National Guard has stepped up and done an excellent job every year. But they're back this year, which is also a fun part about it. So everybody be prepared. They make a lot of noise. So
yes.
just be ready when we get ready to shoot the howitzers.
There'll be a lot of car alarms going off tomorrow night and barking dogs, too.
That's right. Yeah.
But it should be a lot of fun. We look forward to bringing it to folks live right here on QATV as well. There is a committee. You're on the committee, right?
Yeah, there's a great committee led by the mayor that does a lot of work leading up to this. They start meeting as early as February to put the roster together, to do the logistics. A lot of city departments participate, from police to fire to traffic and parking, the DPW to parks, recreation. Everybody pitches in, and it's a great community event.
Yeah. Do you have a vehicle in the parade to yourself?
We have a couple of trucks that we use to pull floats. There are a couple of, like the North Quincy Quiz Bowl winners will be in the parade this year. So the park department has put together a little hayride wagon for them. And our folks do a great job. Everybody steps up, the entire department. So we're pretty lucky.
We thank you, too, for providing our platform for our broadcast location. That's a great help as well.
Of course.
We'll see you at the parade, as
they
say.
Looking forward to it.
So in addition to that, and your regular, many park improvements, road projects, you're expanding the Pine Hill Cemetery. And you're, by the way, getting into the golf business, too, at the Furnace Brook Golf Course.
Yeah.
What's taking up your time these days?
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
So let me talk a little bit about the cemetery. The cemetery is a much-needed project for the city. It's an expansion project that's been talked about for about 25-plus years.
Yes.
The Pine Hill Cemetery, for those that aren't aware, is located essentially down on the Braintree line off of Willard Street. And originally it was a 53-acre parcel. The city has developed approximately half of that. Our expansion efforts in the late 90s, right around 2000, were halted because of concerns about the endangered timber rattlesnake. I guess they summer there. Our staff has never seen one there, but we respect the fact that we should protect the endangered species. So we went through two decades worth of permitting negotiations with the state to get to a point where we're allowed to expand 7 additional acres.
Okay.
We wish there were more, but it is what it is, and it's desperately needed. We currently only sell grave lots on an immediate need basis, which is typically through a funeral home when someone is deceased.
Right.
Our hope is that we can get back into the pre-need sales so that people can plan properly, so they don't have to worry about this. So if you have elderly parents, that we can take care of this instead of doing it through a time of grief, that you can actually plan properly and get ahead of some of this really necessary planning the folks have to do towards end of life. So we're very lucky. The bids came in. C. Naughton, which is a very reputable contractor, is are going to be our partner. We plan on starting this summer.
Okay.
We hope to add close to 13,000 interment spaces. For the first time, in addition to ground burials, we'll be doing cremation niches. As people evolve in their feelings about cremation, we want to provide different options to the population. We'll be doing a number of features to not just expand the cemetery, but to improve the existing cemetery. The roadway network needs to be improved, tree plantings throughout. So it's not just for new graves, it's also to add dignity to the folks that are already interred there.
Mm. Can you explain a little bit more about the 13,000 number, Dave? Because there's been some confusion. Does that mean, you know, 13,000 separate locations, or is it,
sure.
it, you know, 6,500 double locations?
So it is a little tricky because a single grave, when you purchase a single grave, you actually get two spots, right? So there'll be approximately 7,000 burials. So 35,000 single graves will be 7,000 burials. And there'll be 6,000 cremation niches.
Okay.
So that gets us to the 13,000 figure.
All right.
And that'll be spread out over the course of the part of the cemetery that extends beyond where the former the cul-de-sac was up the top of the hill. There's a lot of earthwork involved.
Okay.
It's not easy work, and that's why it's as expensive as it is. This project will be completely self-funded. The cost of the graves, the lots, the perpetual care, the opening fees, et cetera, will more than pay for the cost of the expansion project. And the cemetery board made sure of that. You know, they did a review of all the fees in comparable cemeteries around the South Shore in this part of Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
We're still reasonable, but at the same time, they want to make sure that this wasn't a cost that was shifted to the taxpayer. So the folks that purchased the lots will be the ones that pay for the expansion.
Okay. $16.4 million, I think, in total, right?
Correct.
For the project. How much will a lot cost?
So it depends. So you could get a single lot with your perpetual care fee and your opening fee for about $3,000, just over $3,000 between all the fees as they add up. And there are secondary fees for vaults, for Saturday openings, and it all depends on the specific circumstances. So it's not one price fits all. But you know, a general range of about $3,000, I think, would be the fee that most people experience.
I'm sure you're getting inquiries already as to when can I buy my lot, Dave, right?
We have, There's been quite a bit of publicity around this based on our appropriations efforts to get the money for the project. So there's quite a bit of interest in folks that want to do the pre-planning, that want to be able to be comfortable. Oh, I like this spot. It's a beautiful spot. It's over by a tree. It's got a nice view. You know, people are funny.
I get it,
And, you know, I think that those, the loved ones that know that they're going to be burying a spouse or a family member, want to make sure that they do so with the utmost dignity.
Yes.
So the location is extremely important to people. So, you know, right now it's going to be a construction site. I think as we progress into 22 and into early 23, people will have a better idea of what the landscape is going to look like.
Okay.
And I think the pre-need sales will really take off in early 23 once we get the landscape kind of flattened out.
Okay. Will there be a limit to the number of lots somebody can purchase?
Yeah, so the cemetery board is looking at all of those issues,
okay.
reviewing the fees again to make sure that as inflation goes up, they're within the marketplace, and setting some parameters and regulations as to how many lots a person could buy. You have to be a Quincy resident, but beyond that, any of the additional rules or regulations need to be complied with.
Okay, and this will build out that cemetery after this project?
It will. Mostly, now, as people evolve and get more comfortable with cremation niches, you know, we'll review all of our cemeteries, or at least our active cemeteries, to see if there are additional opportunities in the future for cremation niches. They're much easier to fit in, obviously, than additional burials.
Sure.
But this will likely be the end of the traditional burial space, unless the city adds land somewhere
more
in the future.
Site somewhere else, how many cemeteries does the city
Six.
Operate?
Six.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we have the Snug Harbor and Sailor's Home Cemetery. We have the Hancock Cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the Hall Cemetery, which is next to St. Mary's Cemetery in West Quincy.
Oh.
People often mistake it for part of St. Mary's Cemetery, but it is a separate municipal cemetery. And then, of course, we have Pine Hill and Mount Wollaston.
Yeah, okay. Are the other ones full at this point?
Yes.
They are?
Yeah, so Mount Wollaston is sold out. We still do burials there based on families that have bought six graves, eight graves through
decades
the course
ago.
Of time.
Sure,
So, but as far as sales go, Pine Hill is it.
Okay. All right. So, starting this summer?
The last frontier.
Now, as I understand, there's also going to be a veteran expansion of the veterans section as well?
Yeah, that was an important part of what we were trying to accomplish. I mean, unfortunately, we've been at war in different locations around the world for 25 years. Yep. We're creating a whole new generation of veterans. So as many people were involved in World War II, it was over the course of about 5 or 6 years.
Right.
We've gone 20 years now with various conflicts. I think
1991 was the first Gulf War, actually.
Yeah. So we're working on 30 plus years.
Yeah.
So we wanted to make sure that if folks wanted to be located in the veteran section, that we had ample space. So there's a pretty substantial increase in the size of the veteran section. Now, we have veterans throughout the cemetery. Some of them want to be buried with other family members. But as far as making sure we accommodate the needs for veterans' burial space, that is a big part of what we're accomplishing.
Okay. And a fountain or a water feature?
Yeah, there'll be a water feature. You know, we do think the aesthetics of the cemetery are important.
Yeah.
So I think when people think fountains, they think of the park fountains that we've done. Mm-hmm. It's much more subdued than that.
Right.
It's more of a bubbling brook where water will, it's almost like a small waterfall along some granite stones that'll end up in a pool and then come back.
Okay.
It's nicer than a residential feature, but it'll be something a little bit different than what's there today as you come in off the Chickatobbert entrance. Right now you have that old office building, which is coming down. You have a hill that, because of erosion, is devoid of any decent grass, and the entrance there really needs to be upgraded.
Yep.
So this will be a nice improvement. It'll be a different feature. Water features, I think, are very interesting to different cultures as it relates to the cemetery space. So we're trying to take a look at everybody's perspective and build a cemetery for whoever amongst the 100,000 folks in Quincy would want to be interred.
Yeah, and a special, I guess, new building, office building, just to make arrangements?
Yes. Okay. So we anticipate the pre-need sales will result in a lot of business, a lot of activity up at the cemetery. And right now, when you come in the Willard Street entrance, you see the back end of the garage. It's not a very welcoming entrance. So we're going to build a small little welcome center office building so that folks looking to make arrangements can do so in the appropriate manner.
Nice. All right. Let's talk golf.
It's a beautiful day for golf.
It really is. It's probably very busy out in Furnaceburg Golf Course today, I'm sure.
It is.
What's going on with the Furnaceburg Golf Course?
Quite a lot.
Yeah.
We're very excited. For those folks that don't know, about 50 years ago, the city signed a lease with the Furnaceburg Golf Club, Inc. To pay the property taxes on the nine-hole golf course, which is up on Forbes Hill. And at the end of the 50-year lease, the city would essentially acquire the golf course for the taxes that were foregone. So that happened in January of this year. It's a nice little nine-hole golf course for those folks that haven't played. We have a great team up there running the golf course. Tom Ellis is our golf pro and general manager. We actually were able to recruit him away from Granite Links.
Yes.
He's got a great resume in municipal golf courses in Puttenham and Brookline. Diane Bowman is the office manager up there. She's been fantastic. She worked for the club. She knows the ins and outs. She knows the finances like the back of her hand. Mm-hmm. And she's been extremely helpful in running the kind of the business end of the golf course thus far. And we also took on board the golf course superintendent, Justin Bousquet, who does a great job. The greens up at Furnacebrook are some of the finest around, and they spend a lot of time and care to make sure that it stays in great shape. So, you know, we think that the question that comes up is, why does the city want to own a golf course? Well, golf, in my opinion, is a pretty exclusive sport with a lot of barriers to access. We think that we can open up this course with the help of Michelle Hanley and the Recreation Department to a whole range of people. I'm not talking about young people. I'm talking about people throughout the city that never had the opportunity, that given the opportunity would say, hey, maybe I would like to try this game. So we're looking at a Quincy Youth Golf League, a Quincy Senior Golf League, a Beginners Golf League, a four-hole golf league. If you've never played golf before, we'll give you a couple quick lessons. We've had people donating all kinds of golf clubs. So you don't have golf clubs, that's fine too, because those are expensive. So Michelle and her team have done an excellent job. Tom Ellis up at the golf course is doing an excellent job of really putting together a program to create access for the community to a golf course. Because golf, whether it's equipment or whether it's tee times, can be expensive and therefore restrictive. So we want to try to break down a lot of that, introduce golf to a whole different population that wouldn't have otherwise played golf at some of the private courses around that. They'll charge you $100 to play golf and $500 for clubs. And, you know, we really think that there's an opportunity at Furnacebrook to work into our park inventory and our recreational programming to make it really special.
Okay. There has been some concern, I guess, about plans to expand the parking lot and the playground in that area. So talk about that if you could.
Yeah, so I'll affectionately call it a clubhouse at Furnacebrook was a house that was built in 1925 that was retrofitted to become a golf course clubhouse.
Okay.
And it's doesn't meet any ADA requirements. We're out of compliance right now with all federal ADA requirements. You have to go downstairs to go to the men's room and upstairs to go to the women's room. There are steps To get to each level of the building. The mechanicals in the building haven't been updated in many years because the membership understood the lease was expiring, so they wouldn't be able to get loans if they weren't going to own the property.
Not going to put money into it, yeah.
So we knew the facility itself was going to need some investment and upgrade. Now, this is an upgrade that's going to last 75 years, 100 years.
Okay.
And it's also going to help generate revenue, offset the cost of making those upgrades. So we're looking at building a pretty modest clubhouse facility there. We're going through a process right now with the community to talk about the values and the amenities that it would take. Mm. You know, we don't want this to be Granite Links. Granite Links is Granite Links. We want it to be the best Ferncliff Golf Club it can be. It's not going to be a destination wedding location. It's not even going to be a destination restaurant. We have a food and beverage partner. The Fours mm-hmm. also does Pine Hills, et cetera. So I think a lot of people were concerned that this was going to become the Fours at Furnace Brook. Mm. It really is a great place after you golf to grab a sandwich and a drink on the deck and things like that. I don't think people are going to divert from Marina Bay or downtown Quincy to get a place, a bite to eat, to come up to a golf club.
Okay.
I would think more of a Presidents than I would a Granite Links as far as what we're trying to accomplish up there from a food and beverage perspective. Now, it's nice. I mean, I enjoy sitting on the deck. The view is beautiful across the course and out into the bay.
Yeah.
But we're just trying to be the best Furnace Brook we can be. I understand the neighbors' apprehension about, okay, here's something new. It's bigger than it was before,
right.
But it's bigger than it was before because what is there is drastically undersized.
Okay.
I think what we're doing is more comparable to some of the other nine-hole courses in the region, a Weather Vane or things like that. We're not looking to do a Pine Hills or a Waverly Oaks or a Granite Links. We're looking to do a nice Furnace Brook Golf Club.
All right. What's the timeline on that, Dave, going forward?
So we've actually taken a step back based on some of the community feedback that we've gotten. We were hoping to start that construction pretty much late fall and through the winter, try to offset the slow time for the golf season and the use of the park. But based on some of the community feedback, we'd rather get it right than do it fast. So we've taken a step back. We're working with some of the folks that live up and around the hill about their concerns. And I think that this summer we'll probably come up with some type of compromise as it relates to the relationship between the Forbes Hill Park, which is adjacent to the golf course.
Yeah.
They've expressed concerns about preserving the park and saving the trees,
right.
Which is, you know, my type of language, fine by me. Let's find a way to work together, but let's strike that balance. You know,
right.
This golf course acquisition represents the largest open space acquisition, single open space acquisition the city's made in 50 years.
Really?
It's 45 acres of open space
that's
now in the city's inventory under the city's control. And we haven't picked up a parcel that big in anybody's recent memory.
Okay.
So I think it's important that we don't lose sight of that, right? We just added a pretty substantial piece of open space. But how do we manage that now? What's the correlation between the park and the golf course? And the neighborhood's been very constructive and very helpful. And certainly I appreciate their feedback. You know, what we thought was best for the park, they came back and said, no, we want something very different. So we're working on a different plan than we had originally, and I appreciate everybody's constructive feedback.
Okay. Speaking of trees, we're running out of time, so we don't have time to talk about it, but folks should stay tuned to the city website because there is a major new addition coming to the city website when it comes to looking up trees probably right in your own front yard.
There is, Joe. I appreciate you raising that. We're launching an urban forestry management page with the help of our GIS folks in DPW, Steve Washburn and Jacqueline Devon. We've emulated what the city of Seattle is doing with their urban forestry management. The value of our 20,000 street trees cannot be overstated. It is the character of our communities. It is the environmental benefits. It's all of that. So we want to make sure that people can go on a GIS map, look at every tree in the city, click on the tab, see the species, the size, the condition, and understand the benefits. They can find out how much carbon sequestration, how much oxygen, how much stormwater management. So we're about 2 weeks away from launching that as a public-facing website, but it's going to be a game changer for what we do on trees.
All right. We'll have to have you back afterwards and show us how to use
Love
it.
Love to.
Thanks, Dave.
Love to.
See you at the parade.
I hope so. Thank you.
All right.